Welcome to the Women in Business Impact Lab podcast. Maximize your leadership potential and professional advancement and be inspired. We're delighted to be your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development from a women in business perspective. We share our original research, explore industry and workforce trends, and interview female executives, allies, and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things women in business, leadership challenges, talent management, organizational development, change management, and diversity and inclusion.
Trina Celeste Limpert, welcome to the conversation today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It is a pleasure to be with you. I'm joined by my co-host, Angela Schill. Angela and I are both in Orem, Utah. Trina is joining us from American Fork, Utah. And today we're going to be talking about orchestrating life-work harmony. I really like that phraseology. Oftentimes we talk about work-life balance, work-life integration. And I already see you shaking your head, Trina. I think it'll be fun to dive in and talk about this topic. And I love that you put life first, life work.
Very intentionally did so. That is yes. An intentional shift. Yes.
I love that in and of itself before we have any other conversations. thank you. As we get started, I wanted to share Trina's bio with everybody. Trina Celeste Limpert is a seasoned author, speaker, and tech industry veteran with a 30-year career at eBay and Oracle, and is the founder of Rise Next Corp and co-founder of TechMoms.org. Her initiatives have cultivated a vibrant community of over 500 alumni fostering diversity in technology and providing pathways for aspiring technologists. Trina and her family reside in the heart of Utah's Silicon Slopes. Trina, wonderful. You have such an incredible background. Is there anything else you would like to highlight from your own background or personal context to lay the foundation for this conversation before we dive on in?
No, I think, you know, I found, and I, you know, this is what we'll get into as far as orchestrating life work harmony, but really how I discovered my own vision and purpose and how I'm now helping people orchestrate for that for themselves. You know, you have your tech career, you have these long, you know, bios that you read, like when I speak and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not the focus. Let's get to like what really matters, which is life is really chaotic. Nobody reads that in their bio of like the chaos, right? That's really happening in life. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I like to add that, you know, I have 3 sons and 5 stepkids. So it's like 27 kids, you know, that I'm orchestrating across that all the time. I'm orchestrating a lot of challenges that I've had in life, from divorce to cancer, to all of these things that we don't talk about. So it's like you read these bios and it's like you don't really get the true color and real life side of that. So, you know, if I were to add something, it's like, you know what, we're all real. We're all dealing with life. Like, how do we now orchestrate across all the chaos?
Amen. Like, I love that.
And we're done.
Mic drop. I have all of the questions for you. I don't even know which way to start. I'm really interested in some of the, I don't know where we should go next. I could dig in. I have so many questions about your book, but I'm also just really interested in talking about what led you to this space. And I don't know how you want to encapsulate that. If you want to talk about a little bit of those pieces through the chaos.
Yeah, let's maybe talk about how the book was created, because it's an interesting journey. And I think sometimes people, when you get the book and you understand the history of where it came from and why, that alone is a little bit intriguing. So I've been doing a lot of public speaking for a lot of years. And every time I'd go speak or, you know, go on stage, they'd be like, where's your book? And I'm like, I don't want to write a book. I do not. It's a ton of time. I don't have the, you know, energy for it. I don't know what I'd write about. My background's in tech. I'm a tech writer. I'm not a story writer. And just kept having those situations. And I put it off for years, like for a very long time. A couple of years ago, I had somebody reach out to me on Instagram. His name is Randy Garn. I don't know if either of you know him, but he's an entrepreneur here in Utah, New York Times bestselling author. And when he reached out to me, I didn't know who he was, but he's like, hey, can you come into my office? And I'm like, sure, it's Randy. I'll go check out what this is about. And he says, well, I just feel prompted to tell you, you need to write your book. Just like that. And I was like, what book, right? First of all, what's this book he's talking about? And I'm like, I don't want to write a book. I don't, you know, and I kind of started down that same, like, I don't want to. And at this time I started going, well, what would that book be? What would I write about? What is meaningful to me? And it allowed me to do this introspection finally of, first of all, why are people asking? And then what is it that I had these ideas and these stories kind of bubbling up and kind of always being in the background of my mind. So it was really interesting that he was like, you need to write these. He didn't know what the stories were or why, but it planted that seed for me. And it took me 2 years. You know, I do have a lot going on, right? I'm running a company. I'm running a nonprofit. There's a lot happening. I do a lot of speaking. So it's trying to fit that in. And really it's kind of interesting because now I'm like, I now have to follow my book because I find myself, you always hear about these authors, they write books for what they need. I'm like, oh my gosh, I did. I had to figure out how to orchestrate my own life harmony in getting this book launched. And so I just started digging in and the work that I do with Tech Moms is helping individuals transform their lives and their careers into tech. And we do it through tech careers, but there's so many benefits for women in the industry, not just in their career side, but it has transformational impacts, whether it's finding them independence to get out of maybe domestic violence situation. It enables higher and broader opportunities for wealth and wealth development, so they get financial freedom. It helps develop stronger relationships because they feel more confident in themselves. It helps them in developing their career and themselves personally. And so as I started to identify what did I want to write about, I started to think about my students and what they're going through and the challenges that I was seeing them deal with. And so often what I saw happen is they would be like, yeah, I want to get a new version of me in my career. They had a hard time stopping doing everything. And that's why, you know, when we were saying, and I'm shaking my head to the balancing, it's because they kept still trying to balance everything and you can't. Balance is bullshit. Or as I say in my book, balance is goat shit, because I like to tell goat stories. So you can do the little zap out if you
don't like this. No, I'm laughing because I saw the goat. I saw the goat on your book cover. So I love hearing the rest of that story.
Yeah, I grew up in a family with 10 kids and goats. And so, you know, I tell goat stories. But it really was explaining that we need to help individuals recenter their lives on them first. Because we've been socialized, I would say, and there's a lot of other factors there of you need to continually give to everyone else. And in the midst of that, we lose ourselves in the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And there's no way to be successful at to where you need to go and achieve your vision and your mission in life if you're continually getting distracted by what I call the goats of distraction that are pulling and consuming your energy for everybody else to be successful and you're not. And we lose ourselves in that. And so that's where I started to focus on, okay, what would I share with my students and helping them understand you need to be very clear on what the vision is for your life and centering your life on you. And I use this analogy of centering your life in your life garden and looking at your life like a garden, and you're going to decide what you want to bloom, what your vision is. Forget everybody else and what everybody else ever told you you're supposed to do. What is it you really want to do? What's your purpose? Can you define that? And I think that I would say most people haven't done that.
Yeah.
Most people couldn't say, oh yeah, this is my vision and purpose in life. And yes, I am aligning myself to that. And so once you get to that and you understand what you are and you're centering yourself, you're going to have to set some fence lines or boundary work, right? Like they talk about, I have to use fences because then I can talk about keeping out the goats,
right?
That are going to consume you and start to invite in the gardeners that bloom you. So that's my little mantra.
I love this so much.
And so that's where I started to really reflect on that. That was my process for getting there. And what's been fun with this is to just start seeing people going, oh, it's okay to put myself first. Because then I can take care of people better. I can have better conversations. I can say no without feeling bad for saying no, because I now know what I'm going to say yes to. It opens up a lot of different mindsets and thinking by starting to do that work. So that's a long answer to a very short.
Oh, question. No, it's perfect. It opens up our conversation so beautifully and gives some background. Of course, I think I have questions for another day on just the work you're doing and what led you to that space of tech moms and all the other, you know, the nonprofit things that you're doing in addition to the company that you're running and everything else. But maybe we can just, oh, there are so many things. We can just talk about, maybe you've laid that intro for the book. Now we can dig into maybe the message of the book that you've already kind of introduced.
Yeah. So maybe I can share a little story, because this ties in as you dig into, like I was saying, vision and purpose, right? Mm-hmm. How did I find my own vision and purpose? And there's a lot there, right? One of the things I like to do when I go speak, especially to like high school students or kids, but even this works for adults. Adults love talking toys and kids and when you grew up. And one of the things that I talk about are goats and Barbies. So those are my two like go-tos, right? Everybody loves goats and Barbies. That's my thinking. So when you start to think about what's your purpose in life, one of the best ways to do that is to look back on your life and think about the things that gave you energy, the things, the toys you played with, the things that like you just are always drawn to and you find yourself doing them, but then it's always kind of like on the side, or maybe I kind of put it off because I've got to do this over here. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes reflecting on, what did you play with as a kid? What did you do? And I went to go speak at Code to Success. This is back in 2018, actually, before any of this tech moms or anything existed. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about like, okay, how can I make this fun for high school kids? Right. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to talk about the stories of these goats when I was growing up. And, you know, one of the things I used to do is like, we had a goat named Casper the Unfriendly Goat. And this is really where goats came up for me, you know. But I used to tie a wagon behind Casper, and I'd stick my little brother Mike in the wagon, and then I'd smack the goat and see how long it would take before my brother fell out of the wagon. I would do this over and over and over again, right? Like, my little brother was actually really, he was very accommodating. He thought it was just all fun. He's now in IT. So he owes me his career in IT, because what I was doing is I was logging all of those different, and I was measuring how long it would take and what the variances were. I guess this was like my precursor to, it's like data and analytics and, totally, you know, statistics and outliers and all of it. But this is what I did for fun. Like, I love to measure things and how can I improve them in operational efficiency, right? So like, what did I need to do? So
your iterations.
Yeah, I was making iteration. I was like the beginnings of agile. So we would do that. You know, we were very creative. We get in milk goat wars. Like, you'd pick up a goat and squirt your brothers and sisters instead of having water gun fights. Like, we were very creative. And so I was like, oh, when I look back, it kind of gives you an indicator of what you enjoyed doing, you know? And so when I open it up, I usually hear from the students like, oh, I used to build rockets and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, maybe I want to get into aeronautics or what, you know, things like that. If it's kind of fun. One of the things that my parents did that was really fun was they actually gave me motorized erector sets. And my Barbies, you know, when you get in and you're playing with your Barbies, you're like, you can only dress up so many times and decorate the Barbie house before you're like, I'm bored. I got to get out of here. Right. So I would build these motorized cars for my Barbies and I would take them out because we couldn't afford the little pink Corvette. So my Barbies had like the first ATVs and I'd take them out. And like, I just had this engineering mindset and learned that you can have engineering and love fashion and design and Barbies. It's an and, not an or, right? And so I just had a lot of fun as I was kind of reflecting on some of this, on what is that purpose? And, you know, how can I now see it reflected in my career looking back? And you can do that earlier on and like make decisions on what your vision and purpose is so that you have a more fulfilling career, right? And maybe you shift to going wherever that might be. I was speaking at a conference and a woman messages me after. She's like, Trina, I know what my purpose is now. And I'm like, oh, great. What is it? And she's like, quilting. And I'm like, I would have never in a million years guessed quilting. But she started a business and started coaching and training and doing quilting. And like, you know, and just the fulfillment that came from that, the entrepreneurial space and how it drove her. She found so much more passion tying it to her purpose and where she found excitement, right? So it's kind of a fun process to go through to do that. So what's yours? Now I'm going to ask both of you.
I know that that's where my brain went.
Playing with?
Well, can I ask, so we framed this up at the beginning, you know, you use this word orchestrating, you know, so life work harmony. I love the phrase, but the verb there is orchestrating. Can you speak a little bit more to that? Because I mean, it brings up in my mind a lot of symbolism and you use orchestrating and harmony together, but talk more about that.
Yeah, I love that you're asking these because it was, like I said, very intentional on why I did it that way. When I first was doing this, it was always orchestrating, but it was work-life harmony initially because I was shifting from work-life balance, right? We know balance doesn't work. How can we find more harmony in our life? And when you're orchestrating, it's things come up in life. There isn't like my version of harmony is going to be different than your version of harmony. Right? Like I can't say, okay, do this task list of things and then you will achieve harmony. It's different. And life is going to pop up stuff all the time. And so you're learning to orchestrate, like, and I call it the pause, right? Like you can be going and we're fine. And then, oh, wait, something just came up. I got to pause, maybe redirect what I was planning on doing, maybe say some no to some things. Not, and maybe it's not a no, but a not now. And I'm going to deal with this and then move on. And one of these actually, as I was writing my book, my father was going through cancer and I knew I wanted to write the book. And I was like, this is a priority for me that I had committed to doing it. And at the same time, I'm having to orchestrate all of these family challenges and health challenges with my father. And so, you know, I would have a lot of conversations with him in the car as I drove him to radiation. I would be editing my book in ICU units and, you know, just be like, hey, I'm here for you, Dad, but I've got to do this as well. And it's how can I orchestrate across all these things all the time they're coming and have conversations with my spouse, with my kids on, hey, this is my vision. This is important to me. Some things are going to have to drop while I do this. And that orchestration takes conversations, it takes communication, it takes clarity on what I want to do so that I, when things come up, I'm more easily able to orchestrate across all of those. The life first part, because I call it a life first model for courageous living. Okay. Where that life first came from is I was speaking at, Overstock at the time. They're now Bed Bath and Beyond. But the current CEO, Jonathan Johnson, was on a call with me before we kicked off this conference. And we were talking about this idea of shifting from balance to harmony. And he said, you know, my team's in Ireland. We did a conference on this before. And they said, we don't want to have work-life balance. We want to put our life first. We want life-work balance. And so that's when I switched the title and focus. I'm like, that is brilliant. We should be putting our life first, both at home and in our workplaces. We need to have life first workplaces, because the challenges you have in attrition and toxic environments all come down to how well are you able to manage and lead people to whatever experiences, and can they orchestrate within the workplace to be able to handle the things in their life as well as the work? And are you able to be a leader that can do that? So that life first part is really critical, both personally and professionally.
I'm thinking of when you have life first, it breathes life into your work.
It does.
It feels like there's a focus and you've already addressed this, but there's a focus and an engine that's going that I think is less, there's less propensity for burnout. We talk about attrition and things like that.
Yeah, I include in the book some research that I'd done. There was an article at Harvard on how organizations can drive higher results by aligning the purpose of the organization with the individual's purpose. And so great leaders can then say, okay, this is the purpose, and be clear in communicating the purpose of the organization. And then I can understand the individual's purpose. Like, what gives them energy? What are they good at? Like, we call it strengths finder sometimes, but it's going beyond that a little bit. It's what's really important to this person right now. Like, are they having, you know, life challenges or health challenges or mental health challenges? How do we understand all of those things and then align the individual's purpose to the corporate purpose? And great leaders are able to do that. They're able to take and understand and map those and then drive that. So putting it into a forum where they can have conversations on, I understand what's important to you. It's stability and security, and you love to do, you know, project management, and you want to do more projects. Well, here's some things that we're doing in the organization. Here's where we need to go. Here's where I'm going to align you to that. And so, you know, understanding the life first model and then aligning it, it's really powerful, right? When you start to do that implementation of it.
Well, so two things. First, work is a part of life, not the other way around, right?
Yeah, so, you almost quoted me specifically in the book, and I don't know if you've read it yet.
I haven't, but no, absolutely. Like, we work a significant portion of our lives, a significant portion of our waking hours is spent in the workplace. So work is an important part of my life, and I want to have a healthy, dynamic workplace. I want to feel valued. All those things are very important to me because that's an important part of my life, but it's not everything. And I hope, certainly it isn't for me, and I hope it's really not for most people. It's not the main facet of their life. Like, there's so much that so much richness that comes from all aspects of our lives, and work is a piece of it, and it's a really important piece of it. But let's remember and put it into correct context. Otherwise, I think we're inclined to either kind of exploit those around us or exploit ourselves even, and like not give ourselves the care that we need to stay healthy. It's very easy to do that when we have a work first mindset. The other piece, you highlighted this and described this a bit, but that when I think of orchestrate, you know, I think of like some like an orchestra or a symphony, and I think of the conductor, and I think of the person who's up there, and I don't know how in the world they do it. Like, there's like 1,000 things going on simultaneously, and they're trying to keep everything together to sound beautiful with harmony. And that it's a really impressive thing. Whenever I see someone doing that, I'm like, oh my goodness, that is a real skill and a real talent. And it's the same in life. Like, if you find we're all busy, everyone has 1,000 things going on. We have competing priorities. Everyone is juggling 1,000 things. And it's not about like, we don't have the luxury of simplifying our life down to just a couple things, and then we can like super neatly like juggle them. Like, it's about orchestrating. It's about figuring out how to manage the chaos. That's what we're dealing with. And so I really like that imagery.
Yeah. I actually tell a story about my seventh grade band teacher in the book. where I was always so like, I look back and I'm like, so I played the flute, not very well, but I did. And I remember in seventh grade and everybody coming in, and it's just, you can imagine a seventh grade band, nobody's played an instrument before. And I was like, it's incredible that he could take all these people with no knowledge of music at all. And by the end of that, create harmony, even though you'd have the few squeaks and pips, you know, all of that. But he would like, okay. And what he would do, and if I look back, is like, he'd pause. And, you know, sometimes he'd be like stabbing that wand at you and you never want to be at the end of that baton. But that's how he'd stop and go, okay, correct. Here's what you did wrong. All right, now let's go again. And we just, you know, and then eventually everybody starts getting it and you come to harmony, right? And that orchestration, that's what we're doing, is we don't have it all figured out, but recognizing when you are in disharmony and taking that moment to go, oh, what is it that's causing that? Let me go back to figuring out what that is in my life that I'm not like, is it my work and career and I need to focus there? Is it in my relationships and I need to deal with a goat, right? And get them out of my garden. Am I financially well? Do I need to invest in me personally and my personal development? Where is that? And so that's kind of how I guide throughout the book is, let's go back and look at all of those areas in your life and where do you feel like there's disharmony so you can like fix it, right? Adjust it, learn, grow, and then start again. Okay, now we're moving what that next piece is.
What I love with this, it's such a mindset shift for me, mm-hmm. just listening to this of, and John brought this up too, of wanting to tidy everything up in these little boxes and check the boxes off and have it done. And that's not normal life. And so no. There's always this, this bubbling under frustration and this feeling of disharmony or discontent. And so to have this vision of orchestration leaves room and space for that growth that you're talking about and patience to then look at these things and never feel like it's the wrong thing that you're doing. I think right. If you're doing the bop-a-mole, then you're always in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's harrying. So
Give yourself like, even like, as I was writing, I was like, even like stop saying the word balance and moving to harmony. Just those words feel different, right?
Yeah.
Balance feels like tense and stressful.
I'm talking about it. I feel my blood pressure rising.
It's like the pressure, the tightrope, and you're juggling and you're just trying to never fall into the abyss, right? Mm. Where with harmony, you're like, it's okay. I can give myself room to step back and go, okay, something's not right here. I'm not having to feel that pressure of carrying it all. And it's okay that I'm not carrying it all. And I'm going to focus on this, and that's okay to let things go. And I'm going to bring them maybe back in later. The trombones are going to come in at a later time, right? Whatever. So yeah, it's a fun analogy to work with. And it really catches people's minds can understand. It's like, okay, am I harmony or disharmony right now? And you're going to always, disharmony is going to exist. It's going to come up. It's just your ability to step out of it, recognize it, readdress it, and then move on, right?
Doing those instruments. There's room for that. Yeah.
I actually call them tune-in moments in the book.
Oh, see? You've thought of everything.
Yeah, I know. So, and one of the things, so in the book, if you get the paperback, I actually like to write in books. And journaling is very healing, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually leave space in there and do prompts so that you can write down and tune in. As I introduce a concept, we take moments to tune in and say, okay, what is working or not working in each of these areas? And so it really guides you through all of those steps.
Well, Trina, this is just wonderful. And I know I need to go get your book right away. Thank you so much for this conversation. I know at the time we need to let you go, but before we wrap things up for today, I just want to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, where they can find your book, and then give us the final word on the topic for today.
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is trinaceleste.com, and I'm on all social platforms. So Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, you can come find me, connect with me. I'm very responsive on all the platforms, so would love to hear from you. We also have the Audible. So it's on Audible, it's on Spotify Books, it's on most audiobook platforms. So go find it. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you can request it. So we've tried to put it wherever anybody's at. Feel free to get it, but look forward to hearing feedback and reach out to me anytime.
Thank you. Wonderful. I'm excited.
Trina, thank you. Angela, thank you. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Trina can do for you. Check out the book. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Women in Business Impact Lab podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and that you have a great week.